You're live on Facebook and YouTube for free, but is your ministry actually reaching people or just filling a feed? Well, today we're closing the ministry gap. We're diving in as to why free platforms might be costing you more than you think in engagement, ownership, and connection. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's right before this one, people. Hey, it's the Church Solutions Podcast. We have this thing where it counts down. We use a program called Riverside. Riverside.com, I guess, is the way. And that's what we do with our podcast. We've evolved over the years. You know, with our podcast, but I'm Phil Thompson,
and I'm Steve Lacy.
What did we first start using? We used Skype, right, at one point, but even before that, what were we doing for our podcast?
I think we were recording local, right? We were just turn some cameras on and record local right that onto was, the computer.
Yeah. And then I forgot to write down the episode here. This is 515, I think. Episode 515. I don't know. We'll edit it if it's not. All right. So, you know, this is a couple days after Easter, 3 days after Easter, with the time we're recording this here with Steve. And this is the Church Solutions Podcast, as was mentioned before. How was your Easter, Steve?
Easter was good. We were very busy. We were... my son and daughter-in-law got tickets to the Final Four in Indianapolis, and so they went and left their three children behind. So we were actually daughter-in-law's mom took the baby, who's like 14 months or so, and then we took the two other kids, which are 5 and 3. Yeah. So it's very taxing. I mean, 4 days, they came back. They didn't come pick up the kids until late Monday or Tuesday. I don't know. But yeah, it's tough, especially because they're not in their own beds and they don't sleep well. And so that means we don't sleep well. But yeah, but it was good. We had a good time. And we had more grandkids coming over on Easter Day. So it was fun.
And again, how many grandkids, how many grandchildren do you now have?
We have 7. six and one on the way.
Six and one on the oven.
I'm doing this right here. The number keeps changing. So, yes.
Keeping score at home.
Yes, it changes. the most recent was just in December. So
all right.
that was number 7, actually. So, yes,
okay.
That was number 7 in December. We have 8 on the way. So,
yeah. Well, as long as, you know, if you're going somewhere with them, as long as you don't, you know, forget them, leave them in the store or something.
Yeah. that's my greatest fear. And I just, yeah, is, you know, having kids in the, even just having one kid, it's usually even worse with just one. You're going somewhere and they're in the back and they fall asleep. You get to where you're going and we're not used to having kids in the back seat all the time. So we got to really be conscious. Oh, can't leave them in the car.
Well, yeah. And especially here in Arizona, as people, I'm sure, have heard nationwide. I mean, there's been some tragic things, but you leave a kid in the backseat.
We had our own little army, we always knew because, you know, it was just a given that there were kids in the car. But now that the kids are all now grandkids, and we don't travel with them as much. So anyway, good weekend.
We're good. You know, Cindy Elliott, a good friend of ours, who was went to our church, still goes to your church. Cindy has forgotten her kids over the years. This was a long time ago. They're all adults now. But
well, we have left one of our children at church. That has definitely happened where we gathered them all up and drove to a restaurant and saw a friend from church there with our child. He said, "Did you forget something at church today?" So
I'll never forget the time that, you know, I used to lead the music team, and we had like a practice Wednesday night or Thursday night or something. And one of the Elliott kids, Cindy Elliott, Todd's kids, one of them, Blake, disappeared. And we had practiced, a bunch of people. We had a large worship team, and we're ready to lock up everything and go home after practice. And we couldn't find Blake. I mean, it was freak out city, you know. And this is many years ago, but I mean, we're ransacking the church looking for him. We're walking outside. We're doing all sorts of stuff, you know. And somebody finally found him hiding, like under a sink. He was really small, and he was hiding under a sink. In a cabinet or something, and it was just it's
scary. There's probably lots of stories with especially around the church. So
Right. Well, we had a good Easter ourselves. I was in San Diego for a few days, came back, and my wife loves to decorate for Easter, so we're hanging these plastic eggs from a tree in our front yard with burlap. Yeah, this kind of a thing. And I went out and actually bought some plants to put in a planter that we have out front. And normally I get these plants and, you know, we have these long, tall planters, and you have them filled with dirt and you dig up. I mean, they're pretty tall, and you dig up the thing and then you put the plant in. This time I just took what the plant was in and just put them in there, just laid them in there. And it's like, we're good. I'm not going to dig up anything. I'm just going to lay them in there. All right. We had a good time. We had my son and his wife, and then her parents from Phoenix. So, all right, we're yakking here too much probably, but we hope everybody had a good Easter. And today we're going to talk about why free, I'm saying here, wait for it, why free isn't enough. There's a ministry gap in social media streaming. We're going to talk about streaming video and why free isn't enough. I've been in this seat for a long time. Actually, I stand now, but we get people going, well, why not just stream to Facebook or YouTube? It's free, and everybody's already there, so it's why not do that?
Yeah, so we're going to get into it, right? So
instead of paying for us, and by the way, this podcast is brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv, which is us, and we do streaming video for churches. So why not just stream to these other places? Why use a service, a dedicated service with a dedicated platform like StreamingChurch.tv?
Yeah, it's very popular out there that says, if it is free, you're the product. So that is, that's the key thing, is if it's free, you are paying for it through a certain way. So you are the product within it. So the core issue here, I think, is you don't own the experience. So you are putting your stream on Facebook or YouTube. You don't control the environment. You don't control what's going on. You don't control what they see next. You don't look and control how long they stay online. So it's kind of like inviting people to church inside somebody else's casino. So I thought that was a great little visualization because you're going to imagine doing church inside a casino where there's distractions all around. There's a completely different motivation for that environment. Whereas Facebook and YouTube, they want to get you in. They want to get you scrolling. They want to get you, doing your thing within their environment. They're not necessarily interested in streaming, having someone attend your service and have their lives changed and participating in the service. They want to get, you involved in other things and get into that death scroll on their system. So it's kind of, I thought it's a great analogy. It's kind of like having a church inside a casino with all the bells and the whistles and all this stuff going on around me and going, all these things begging for my attention. So,
yeah.
And you have no control over it. I mean, you're in their casino. right? They're going to, you got to play by their rules. So that's very much what it is. So you don't own the experience, and it's not always free. So that's one of the key things.
Yeah, there's a cost. I mean, a lot of times this stuff, you're free is great, but there's a cost to something you didn't realize that you were actually paying. And we have lots of casinos around here in Arizona. But I liken this a little bit to when I've helped start some churches. One of the churches I helped start was we met at a movie theater. And that's where we met. I think maybe you even visited one time, didn't you? I don't remember.
We did.
Years ago. Yeah. Of course, we had it in the morning when there wasn't any show times, although we had to get it all done because by the time we got wrapped up, there was going to be movies playing. And there was a few early showings that we had to make changes to, right? Because we're meeting in this movie theater. And then at one point, we got kicked out. We had to meet in the actual outside the movie theater, inside the mall. This movie theater was in a mall. And so we were actually having to meet in the mall area, the common area, I guess. And boy, that was a disaster. Talk about distractions.
Yeah, it was. We came and we had little kids at the time. And since it's a movie theater, it's designed for movie theater stuff. You guys had to improvise on how you did the kids area.
Yes.
And so for the little kids, you took a bunch of tables and laid them on their side to act as like little pinned-in barrier areas. And we're showing up with our bundles of joy, and we're putting lifting them over these tables laid on their sides in this little corral area. We're just going, this is not the most conducive environment for doing children's ministry kind of thing.
Yeah, we built a wall. It was the wall, and we lay these tables out like a big wall barrier. Yeah, yeah, you remember all that. Yeah, yeah. We had to do that every weekend.
That made an impression, and that kind of made us think, do we want to come back here, or is this? So it's basically you're having a service inside some environment that's not designed for the service.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about when it comes to social media, streaming to social media.
Yeah, so it's and your streaming service is much more than just your video. You want to be able to do ministry online. So with a dedicated platform that is designed for doing ministry, not designed to keep people on an infinite scroll or distract them or feed ads or that sort of thing, you're going to get a completely different experience. Things like prayer requests built into the service. Private chat with real people. It's not just a, what they call them, chat bomb, photo bomb kind of, people coming in and blasting you and running off. You have a moderated conversation. If you get anyone tempted to come that's not going to behave, you can get rid of them, as opposed to on these free platforms. You're in their world. You don't have control over how people participate and what goes on. In our environment, we've got the Bible right there integrated into the platform. So as the pastor talks about a reference, whatever it may be, you can quickly turn to that reference. So, and it's a, it's a hosted environment. So there's a greeter that hosts you when you come. There's somebody that knows about your church that's participating in the service with you, as opposed to somebody that's trying to lure you into the outside of your service, into your YouTube or Facebook environment. So that's kind of some of the key things here.
Yeah. As you've said here, social media, I mean, it's just the chat, if it happens at all, is just a lot of noise. But in a ministry platform like self-glossing here, streamingchurch.tv, chat becomes more important. And it, as you were saying, you can connect with people there. And then, maybe let's talk a little bit about after the service. After the service is over, what happens, when it comes to, if you're just streaming on social media, what happens versus if you're streaming on a platform, a dedicated platform set up for ministry, what's the differences between the two?
So you're lucky if you keep them through the whole service, that they don't get distracted by a squirrel in another video or a, because it's going to show when they log into YouTube, it's going to show their, it knows them. And so it knows what they're going to be interested in. Oh, wow, there's this car racing video going on. Do I want to listen to the pastor? Oh, you know, anyway, so if they make it through that, you know, if they make it through the whole service, then they're gone or they get distracted on another video. With a service like ours or comparable service, the real ministry begins after the service. So one of the things, what do you do when they come to your physical place is you do some things. If they're a first-time guest, you treat them differently than someone that's been there for 300 times. You're going to follow up with them. So with Streaming Church Platform, we have automated follow-up with those that attended the service online. So there's, and it knows, the system also knows is what the difference is in a first-timer, second-timer, a third-timer, whereas on these other platforms, they just, you know, they're just a number that showed up. And some of these numbers are actually quite exaggerated because someone scrolled through for half a second and, oh, you had a visitor and you really didn't have a visitor. So anyway, there's automated follow-up for your visitors that come. And we auto-record, we have the capability to auto-record your service on our server. So you can put that in your media vault and then you can turn that recorded service into a week's worth of ministry tools. We've been using this at my church for a while now, but we had pastors that were creating notes for small group and outlines for small group. Now we're using this ministry multiplier tool that will leverage the recorded sermon to create custom ministry. What we use is for our small group discussion. So we basically take the key points of the message and boil them down into five key points. And then we actually have other people in the group lead different sections for each of the different messages. So it's something that you can do that you won't be able to do with YouTube and Facebook because there is no ministry available after the service. So ministry multiplier, something new.
Okay, yeah. So I just wanted to touch on that again. Ministry multiplier. So that's something that if you're a streamingchurch.tv customer, that's something you have access to. If you're an admin or a pastor, whatever it is, you can actually use that tool. So it takes the sermon and does just what you just said.
Yeah. It can create daily devotions for you. You want to send out a text message daily devotions each day. It can do small group discussion notes. It can do a summary of the sermon. If you want to just send out a quick one paragraph summary of the sermon, it can do content geared for youth and content geared for children to create crafts and things like that during the week for families and that sort of thing based on the lessons from the message. So a bunch of tools that come to you automatically based on your recorded sermon.
Yeah. And again, this is all part of, not to keep pushing us, but I think it's an important part for people to realize, you know, if you have a dedicated service like streamingchurch.tv, this stuff comes and makes your life easier as a pastor or associate pastor or somebody that's in charge of trying to do small groups or whatever. This can make your life a lot easier and saves you a lot of time. Yeah. Right? I mean, I did all this stuff manually for years and years and years, hours, you know, and now it can be done relatively quickly and you can edit some things and you can make it sound like you want it to sound and do what you want it to do and accomplish what you want it to accomplish.
Yep.
Pretty cool stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, okay, when you're using social media to stream, and we're not saying you shouldn't ever use it, but what we're saying is there's a difference. Where does your online stream live? You know, I mean, you're streaming and where do you want it to live? Because if it's on YouTube, as we've already said, and Facebook, there's lots of things going on. It's the casino, right? And
yeah,
lots of activities. Bells are going off and slot machines are dinging. And my wife is trying to spend money and lose, you know. And I don't gamble. I just don't gamble. But so there's all this stuff going on. But if your live stream was somewhere where it wasn't a distraction, where would it be?
It would be on your church website. So one of the advantages of going to a third-party service where you're the product is you own this whole environment. So you can take this streaming ministry environment, customize it to match your website, and plan it right on your website. So where all your ministry tools are on your website, there your live stream can exist as well.
We've banged this drum a lot, but it really is true. You want people going to your website. Now, we've talked about this as well. You know, you want to make sure your website is up to date and all that stuff and doesn't look like something from the 1990s. But that's where you want people to go. It benefits those people going there because they have other opportunities to see what you offer. Maybe you've got some tools for them that they could look at. And of course, they can learn more about your church if they're relatively new. But it also benefits you as a church because, you know, people are going to your website. And so I don't know how the magic algorithm works, but I think that if, you know, you can't go wrong with people going to your website, right? I mean, it's want people going there. It's going to help you with probably with Google. And we don't know that for sure, do we? But we know that it would be better for them to go to your website than to be scrolling around on YouTube.
Yeah. And the casino analogy carries over here. You want people to do in church, in your church building. If you're going to live stream in a digital environment, you want to do that ministry on your church website rather than somebody else's property. So.
Yeah. I wonder if people, you know, there's a lot of people planning churches out there. I wonder if there's anybody doing a church in a casino. I wonder if that's happening.
I don't know. That would be a tough.
They would have rooms. Some casinos have rooms, you know.
That's true.
So, but you still got to get there. I mean, you still got to get to the room. My wife and I went out to eat several months ago, and we thought, you know, sometimes some of these casinos here in Arizona, they have some fairly legitimate dining. You know, there's some good restaurants in some of them. So I remember going to get to the restaurant in the casino, and you have to go all through these things and walk all past all these slot machines and all these crazy things going on. And as you've mentioned, bells whistling and people, you know, playing 21 blackjack or whatever. And it took us forever to get to the restaurant, you know. And once we got to the restaurant, it was pretty good. I liked it. But, you know, they made it on purpose. You know, it's like when you go to a grocery store, you're trying to get something. I remember this years ago. One of my teachers talking about, you know, where you wanted to get bread and milk, but they would make it really in a grocery store, they would just put it right up front where the popular items were. You'd have to go through the store to get to something, right? And hopefully buy something else or see something else. Same with the casinos, right? So I'm getting off track here, but I wonder, even if you're meeting at a casino in one of their meeting rooms, people still have to get there. it's very distracting.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I was rambling on here, but you know what I mean.
In my former corporate life, we had a casino near our workplace, and you're right, it was good food and it was a good price. So, but yes, you had to walk through the casino to get to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on here. So some of the things that we've talked about, and I guess we've kind of punched on or talked about this one quite a bit, about the distraction problem.
We've hit that pretty hard.
Ads and suggested videos and infinite scroll, and we kind of went through some of that. One of the other things that I'm not sure we talked about was what you want to do is you want to, you know, a lot of times people go, well, I streamed on Facebook and I got 300 views. And, you know, I have a church of 50 people and there were 300 people that were viewing my service. And people go, wow, I just need to go stream on Facebook because I get 300 views. And what people don't realize is what the level of engagement was for those people. I think 298 of them were probably just scrolling through and the video appeared on their screen for a second and moved on. So what you want to do is you want to strive for engagement versus just getting your numbers. Yeah. So that's,
I think that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't get a good engagement for some of the reasons we've already talked about. You can't privately pray with people online. There's not ministry tools on the other systems to do ministry online as effectively as you could if you had a system that's completely dedicated to streaming, ministry streaming. So,
yeah, it's more than just broadcasting. You know, it's about connecting with people, and I understand. You know, being a church online pastor myself for a number of years, you know, you're not everybody that watches your live stream on a paid platform. Not everybody's going to connect with you. You're not going to connect with every single person necessarily, but you have that opportunity to, and you have that opportunity to build a relationship, believe it or not, online. And, you know, you can use these tools that we're talking about to really facilitate that and to give that an opportunity. So, you know, if you can change, you know, we used to have an old saying, if you can change one person's life, you know, you've made a difference. And that may be overused a little bit, but it made a difference to that person, right? I mean, yep. If you can reach them and help them connect and help them grow one person, that makes a difference for them, which could in turn make a difference for the people in their lives, in their families, in their marriages, with their kids.
Yep. I want to dive a little bit deeper into something I didn't mention earlier that may be appealing to others as well, is with the streaming church solution. The system will track your attendance and everything kind of geared for ministry. And if you do that over time for a while, what we've done is introduce a new tool called the Digital Ministry RX. So it will go in and look at how you're doing ministry online, how you've been doing it for the past 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, however long you've been doing it. They'll have stats for every single week of attendance, engagement, how much chat was going on, how many people viewed your recorded sermon, how many people came back a second time, how many first-time visitors you had for that. So that all of this data is available to you in our system. And what we've done is put that into a tool that we call Digital Ministry RX, and it'll go through and analyze how effective you've been within your ministry and give you suggestions on things you can do to improve. Some of them that you can implement next week. And just by analyzing our data, it's just a third party, come in completely free. No additional charge for this tool. Just go ahead and have it punch Digital Ministry RX. It asks you one question about identifying what the goals are for your ministry and what falls into three different categories. And based on where you want to go and where you've been with the digital ministry, it's going to put together a plan for you to go out and achieve that goal. So, and then you can run it again. You implement what they say or what the recommendations are in the system. Come back a month later, 2 months later, see if it made any impact on where you wanted to go. So
yeah,
that's a key tool that is available as well.
Yeah.
That you won't
get. And that's unavailable. What's that?
You won't get that on Facebook or YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to ask. YouTube or Facebook doesn't have that, do they?
Okay. No, they're not going to be able to say, yeah, you're not following up with your first-time guests effectively, so they aren't coming back. Or you are following up really well, and they are coming back, so you've got a real high rate of people returning and becoming full-time members. So, and it'll give you suggestions if you're not doing it, you know how to improve it, give you a pat on the back if you are doing well, and point you to another area you may need to grow in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all that stuff, again, we're banging our own drum here, but why not? We've got some great tools for ministry at streamingchurch.tv, and you know, you can always make a free trial. There's no obligation. Just go to streamingchurch.tv, choose the plan you want to. We got like four plans, actually, very reasonable. And, you know, we're not asking for any money up front. We're not asking for your firstborn. We're not even asking for your credit cards. You just make a free trial and do it for 30 days and we'll help you. We're available. We've got support Sunday mornings as well as the rest of the week. And we'll help you whatever we can. It's just part of our deal here. So the challenge here as we close out things is, you know, if you're streaming to YouTube or Facebook, go watch your own stream and try to look at it as a new person, as a first-time visitor, and ask yourself, is this stream helping me engage, or is it just another video? And then ask, hey, are we actually, as a ministry, as a church, are we actually, just building viewers, or are we building people? And we're not saying trash YouTube or Facebook, never use it or whatever. I think it's somebody said one time, it's a great front porch to your church. It is an opportunity for people maybe to hear about you and see you or something. But the bottom line is, as you said, you want people inside your facility online. And then maybe if they're local, we've seen this happen over and over again. If they're local and they're watching you online locally, it's a good chance they're going to show up in your facility. And hopefully you don't meet in a casino. But yeah, if you do, good luck. All right. Good luck. Get that? Good luck. Casino. See what I did there? Luck. All casino. Right. Gambling. Excuse me. We are done here, I think, for the most part. We'll probably blog this. So there'll be notes. And by the way, if you haven't looked at our blog, you can just go to blog.streamingchurch.tv. We've got all sorts of stuff on there to help you with your ministry. You can scroll through the blog. There's stuff that we've been doing for many years. So go to blog.streamingchurch.tv. And what we're talking about here, we'll make it into a blog post in some form. So we'll eventually do that, maybe before you see this or after it, whatever. But check it out. And if you've never subscribed, excuse me, I'm choking up here. If you've never subscribed to the Church Solutions Podcast, do so. You'll never miss an episode. Give us a rating, and we always are open to your feedback. We're out of time. Thank you, Mr. Steve Lacy.
All right. Good to be here.
I'm Phil Thompson, and thank you for watching or listening, whatever platform you're on, to the Church Solutions Podcast. We'll catch you again on another episode. Please take care of yourself and each other.